Hey everyone, welcome back to the Sports in the Mitten podcast. My name is Thomas Bendit. We're powered by Mr. Spots, and here with Adam Biggers. It's Sunday night following, what is this, week three of college football season.
Already, I know.
Yeah, it's flying by. Michigan notches a win over Air Force yesterday, moves to 3-0. Obviously, Michigan State had a bye week, so they're still sitting at 2-0, gearing up for Notre Dame next week. Adam, how's everything going?
Really well. It's you know, like you said, you mentioned the it's already week three of the college football season, and it's kind of crazy to me because I mean we wait so long. The spring game comes, we wait so long during the summer. There's that 100 days countdown, you know, and everybody's anticipating. We get the preseason stuff all going, and then boom, it's here and it's gone in an instant. And I think I mean, right now, Michigan to me looks solid. It's not. I mean, there are flaws there. I mentioned last night in the mm-hmm. post game podcast. It's not like it's a bunch of big tears. It's or just ripping to shreds. It's little tears here and there. And yeah, they can get out of hand if you let them go. But basically, you know, sew them up. It's stuff that can be sewed up. And you know, I mean, you look at the fumbles. You look at the red zone. The red zone efficiency has just been more. Rutgers has better red zone efficiency than Michigan does right now. So, I mean, there's all kinds of numbers, and I mean, you could go on and on. I tweeted out earlier, I mean, Michigan's given up 6 sacks already through 3 games, 18 last year through 13 games. So, I mean, it's there are a lot of things, but, you know, like I said, it's very easy to point to, you know, this player, that player. It's more than just a singular player at a position. It's overall, it's just not, it's just had, for lack of a better word, it hasn't been clean, you know, hasn't been clean football, really. The Wolverines have not played a complete clean game yet, and that's what I'm waiting for. How long does that take? 3 weeks? I mean, sometimes, last year we saw them open up against Hawaii and just looked like, boom, ready to go. That's mm-hmm. a different team. Again, you know, we talk about with Brady Hoke, in tenure, I feel like the youth thing was kind of a crutch because these guys have been around for a little bit. These guys really are young who are playing. They've been around a year. This might be their first year. This is their second year. I think it's going to take some time.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, if you look, especially last week against Cincinnati, I mean, a botched snap, a screw up. I personally, it probably was on Peoples-Jones considering he got yanked, but just some tough situations with the punts. He rebounded, certainly came back this week very strong with the return for the touchdown, which helped Michigan significantly in this game. We'll say that much. But, yeah, I mean, there's issues. I would say, you know, personally, as far as Saturday's game is concerned, I thought the defense played really well. I thought the special teams played really well. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to have ace punting this year. They just don't seem to have the guy. But the coverage has been good. Obviously, they got a special teams touchdown. And then the defense, really outside of that one botched pass with some miscommunication on the back end, they had shut down Air Force pretty well. Maybe not shut down, but contained that really tough option offense really well for this afternoon. And I think I saw some stat that was like their lowest rushing total since like 2012 or something. So I think the defense held up pretty well, but yeah, I mean the offense, they still have some issues. I think they cleaned up some of the stuff from the Cincinnati game, but the red zone remains a huge issue, which it's odd. I think some of it's play calling. I think some of it's just not converting, but some of it I just think is bad luck too. It's crazy to see a team move this well because you know, you mentioned some of the red zone efficiency stats. If you look at the other teams that are around them, those are teams that like never get to the red zone ever, and Michigan's getting there. They just struggle when they get there. So I think certainly that's an area to improve on, but you know, I think anybody who is reasonable expected this. It's going to be a little rocky at the beginning. There are going to be ups and downs. And yeah, the question is how does this team progress? Do they keep heading up? Is it kind of up and down? You know, when do those down games come? You know, for instance, are you going to get a down game against Rutgers? Or are you going to get a down game against Penn State? Because you do this, and I shouldn't say this, you know, if you did what you did to Cincinnati against Penn State, you're getting blown out. I'll just say that much. But I still think they have a lot of talent, and I think they have most of the right pieces. It's just about putting it all together as we go forward.
Yeah, they're not going to hang with Penn State. They won't hang with Ohio State. They won't hang with Michigan State. I mean, it's going to be I think it's going to be really difficult, I think, to beat some of these better Big Ten teams. I mean, it's kind of easy to say. I mean, you got to score touchdowns when you get in the red zone. And yeah, Quinn Nordine has been just mega for those guys. But at the same time, he can't be the leading – after Saturday's game, you know, excluding the other results, he's either the Big Ten leading scorer or he's like number two or three right now. I mean, that's the way it is for Quinn Nordine.
And we should give him a shout out. Man, he was money on Saturday.
I mean, he's got a leg. I think that is. I mean, Kenny Allen was a really good kicker.
Mm-hmm.
Quinn Nordine's got some range. I mean, it's just as special teams. I think if you're Michigan, you have to consider yourself lucky. A very important position, and then boom! Look, I mean, Kenny's numbers were up there with some of the best kickers at Michigan. And then you have, what's the follow-up? Quinn Nordine. So I think if you're a special teams coach right now, you're giving yourself a hand, you know. Thankfully, Kenny Allen was there when you got there. And look who Jim Harbaugh went out and got, Quinn Nordine. Solid kickers. That's something that I think gives teams a peace of mind, because what if, you know, we do see Michigan's offense go upward like we think it's going to be, and it's a tight game against the Penn State or Ohio State, and it comes down to a field goal. I think you're comfortable last year and the year before with Kenny Allen in that position. I think you're comfortable, you know, right now from what we've seen with Quinn Nordine. I did want to mention real quick about Air Force, because I watched the replay, actually, of Ohio State and Army, and not identical but very similar option offenses ran by Navy and Army. And, you know, Army did the same thing to Ohio State. And actually, Ohio State ended up blowing them out. I think it was a 38-7. We'll go over the Big Ten scoreboard real quick before we let you guys go tonight. But Army made it a game for about, you know, 3.5 quarters. I mean, Army hung in there for a little bit, and then Ohio State really opened up the floodgates. And that's, I think, the difference. Ohio State was able to do that, create some separation. Michigan just created that separation and then said, okay, guys, we've gone far enough. Now we're going to kick a field goal. That was kind of the thing. But what impressed me most about the defense, and I tweeted this earlier, I mean, Chase Winovich had a career high. Rashawn Gary tied a career high with 6. Josh Metellus tied a career high with 6. It's early for David Long, but it's a career high of 5. Devin Bush had a career high 11 tackles. So, I mean, we had Josh Metellus, that I already mentioned, Josh, had tied his career high with 6. So we saw a bunch of guys on the defense just have really good individual performances. I thought Cleek Hudson was pretty good too. I mean, I think he only had 5 tackles, but I mean, he had like 7 his first 2 games each, something like that, 7 and 5. I mean, Cleek's been pretty solid. So, I mean, I think from a defensive standpoint, my only question, I guess, and we'll dive deeper into this Wednesday night when you and I do the Purdue preview, but how do you go from an offense that just attempted 9 passes and only one of them was complete? They were 1 for 9. Arian Werthmann was 1 for 7. Nate Romine was 0 for 2. So, and there was a 64-yard touchdown, and that was it. How do you go from a team that ran the ball 49 times against you and you held it to a respectable 3.4 yards per carry? That's pretty good. Elite run defenses are average low 3s. And Michigan had low 3s. In like 14, 15, and 16. So check, check, check on all those fronts, right, for Michigan defense. My only question is now you go from such a contrast of one style to another where Purdue can throw the ball. David Bluff can throw the ball. So,
yeah,
again, we'll save that for Wednesday. But overall, defensively, like you mentioned, special teams, yep, everything looked good. Offensively, I mean, we saw, you know, Nolan Aluzio, the right side, and I don't mean to pan on the guy, but I mean, it's constructive criticism, I think. I mean, Nolan Aluzio sometimes just looks like he's struggling out there. And I do think that the right line is one of the biggest problems of the offense right now. I think also the overthrows. I mean, Will Spate has, for as much as he's showing us a little bit of, you know, the glimpses with the 30-yard and the 40-yard passes and everything. There are equal parts of overthrow, inaccuracy. So that, and I think that that was a little bit of concern against Air Force too, because you're really, at least I was expecting, you know, 250 yards, a couple touchdowns, maybe nothing spectacular, but a game to kind of bump them and give them some confidence. And I don't have the stats in front of me now, but I think he only threw for like 189 yards and, you know, nothing too fancy. But my point is with the quarterback, they keep winning with Wilton Spate starting. So that's not going to change. Okay?
It's always good.
Cron Higdon was asked to grade his offense, and he said a B. Cron Higdon graded him a B. And I think that's fair. And we've made this point a couple times. If you have an A++ defense, you could get by with a good offense. And I think that might be the kind of the trademark MO of this team this year. Elite defense, they got by, succeeded, you know, had a good season with a B plus offense. Can this offense get to A minus? I give it some time, I think so. But I mean, right now, B plus, according to Cron Higdon, is getting, and it's getting it done. The stats are there. The numbers are there. They're 3-0. I mean, that's the number I think that matters most to Jim Harbaugh. 3-0.
Yeah, I mean, I'd start with, there's a couple things there that I think were really good points. The first one about Quinn Nordine, you know, everyone's talking about, you know, what he's, those 50 yarders he hit against Florida, obviously, and just how consistent. And I mean, you watch some of those kicks in the stadium, and it's like some of them are so high you worry about the refs like misspotting the ball, you know, because it's like 10 yards above
the
goalposts. But one thing that is kind of important as well that I've kind of been thinking about is I think that's going to change Michigan's game strategy a little bit. And I'm not saying, you know, Michigan's going to play for field goals and, you know, that's going to be their offense, you know, the field goal offense. But, you know, if they can play the field position game, really they only have to get a little ways across the field and they're going to be in his range, which is pretty different from how it's been for a long time at Michigan and how it is for the vast majority of college football. I mean, it changes the game. I mean, as everyone knows, one of the most controversial areas of the field, at least for play calling, is, you know, just when you get across to the other side and you get a 4th-and-3 or something like that. And it's the question of, do you punt? You know, you're only giving them 20 yards of field space here probably, or do you try to go for it and risk giving them decent field position? And if you have a guy who can nail a kick from there, that makes that decision pretty easy. So I think that's one thing to kind of watch here. And, you know, as far as the offense overall, I don't know if I would rate it quite as highly as Higdon did there. But I think they've been okay. They certainly have some issues to clean up. But, you know, I hate playing the what-if game, especially on things that aren't sort of, you know, crazy plays, so to speak. But, I mean, would Michigan be getting this much criticism, or at least the offense, if Ty Isaac had stepped a couple feet or maybe a half inch over to the right on one of those plays? I mean, they were pretty close to scoring on some of those red zone drives, which I guess the Isaac run was outside of the red zone when it started. But I really do wonder, you know, maybe some of these, they are going to start making that extra play. And I mean, if you get into the red zone as many times as they did against Air Force, you know, they didn't have the success and they got to work on that. But if you start turning those into touchdowns, I mean, that game isn't even remotely close. Now, that's a huge what if.
And that's a really good point, too, because, I mean, exactly. I mean, are we talking about this game in the same context if Ty Isaac ends up, what was that, you know, 60-some yard should have been? Well, mm-hmm. could have been a touchdown if he stayed in bounds. I mean, what if, you know, on a couple of these red zone attempts, they get in? You know, what if?
Yeah, and I mean, I don't like doing that, but
this could have been a 45-13 game.
Mm-hmm.
It could have been.
I just think it's one of those things where, you know, we can look at this and say, hey, these are red flags because if you can't score in the red zone against Air Force, how are you going to do it against Ohio State? You know, how are you going to do it against Wisconsin? But at the same time, if you're getting into the red zone this much and you're literally this far away from scoring that first touchdown, I mean, who knows? If they can improve just a little bit, you know, maybe they're he rated it as a B, so he put it at like an 84, 85. If they can go from an 84 or an 85 to an 89 or a 90, maybe that they start reeling off touchdowns in those possessions, and you have a pretty good team. But again, you know, we'll see which way it kind of switches here going forward. And I did want to mention as well one thing about Purdue. I think there's a lot of weird comments here going on about the Boilermakers both ways. There seems to be a lot of people who think they're just a total joke, and a lot of people who are thinking that this is, you know, the 85 Bears or something coming in.
Yeah, I'm not going that far, but I don't think Purdue's a total joke. I wouldn't say that.
No, it's kind of odd to me how split people, at least Michigan fans, are on this game. I think what I would say is, you know, Michigan, I saw the spread come out. It's about 10 points, something like that. You know, Michigan's going to be favored in this game for a reason. I think this isn't anywhere close to a lock, especially on the road. If you think it's a lock, you haven't researched Purdue, I guess. But, I mean, the people who, you know, are saying Michigan fans should be terrified of this game or anything like that, I mean, geez, Purdue beat Ohio and a horrible Missouri team. Like, this isn't some massive powerhouse here. I don't know.
Well, I mean, okay, but take it like that. Yeah, Missouri, and I see people tweeted at me, and Missouri gave up so many yards that, you know, and I understand that, but still, surface wise, Missouri as an SEC team. Let's see how this happens. You know, let's see how this plays out for Purdue. I mean, I know it's not a real SEC team. I saw you shake your head. I mean, I know, but conference wise, so I mean, their schedule, they're going to play some tough teams. So maybe if Purdue is a 6-6 team or 7-5 or 8-4, maybe, just maybe, they could go back and cite the win over Missouri. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, there are reasons to think. Of course, people tweet me and they said, yeah, of course every team wants to win every game. Well, and I understand that. But right now, if you're Purdue, you beat Missouri. The fact is, Missouri's in the SEC and probably will play a tough schedule. I don't have Missouri's schedule ahead of me, and maybe Missouri gets trampled. But the fact is that you play Missouri. You're hosting Michigan right now. You want to start out conference play well. Michigan wants to start off conference play well. Purdue's probably hearing the talk of, oh, well, that was a fluky win. You know, there's probably, you know, there's always two different camps. People are, oh, Michigan is going to go down there and annihilate. Oh, look, Michigan's a 10-point favorite, and you guys just won 35-3. You got to understand, there's an equal type of emotion on both sides. So what's going to be a separating factor in a game like this? I think this is where talent is going to take over, I think.
I think there's two things here. And the first is, like, I'm with you. I mean, Purdue, this is a competent team. You know, this isn't some, you know, piece of garbage tomato can here you're just going to kick around anymore. They have a quarterback. They can pass the ball. And they have, at least so far, they've been a well-coached team. I know Jeff Brohm is early in his tenure there, but they certainly have made some substantial improvements. But I think you do have to step back and say, you know, let's start off with Purdue has not faced a defense like this year. I don't even know when – well, they – I guess it's unfair to compare last year, you know, with a different coach, but this is going to be by far the best defense they faced this year, and I think that makes a huge, huge difference at this level, you know, facing an okay Louisville defense versus a – what by all accounts is a top 10 defense for Michigan. And it's the other side of the ball. You know, it's, does Michigan play like they did against Cincy, or can they move the ball kind of consistently like they did against Florida, except for two or three plays there that could have went better. So it's going to be interesting. I think Michigan's going to have to work for it. I think Michigan fans might be a little uncomfortable for segments of the game, but and we'll get to this more on Wednesday, obviously. But yeah, I just – Michigan should
I'm sorry, dude. But really, look at what this game – I don't know if Purdue plays afterward, but after – what can this game mean for Michigan? I mean, it's a big game on both sides. This could be a season-changing game. Purdue's big post-Michigan Big Ten opener beats Michigan, and boom, now you got you have all this confidence. Michigan going on the road to play Purdue. Who's up after Purdue? That's the Michigan State game.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to go into the Michigan State game with a loss and feeling and,
yeah,
and feeling down? And I mean, you could probably make this argument for a lot of games, but this is pretty. I thought Air Force was an important game in the regard of, you know, facing a different type of offense. Now going on the road to Purdue, now you want to see how your team responds on the road. And at the same time, knowing that Michigan State is the next game, Michigan can't afford the sloppy play right now. They go, like you mentioned, you go and play like they played against Cincinnati, even how they played against Air Force. I'm not sure it's a lock for a win.
Mm-hmm.
You play like you played against Florida, maybe. I mean, we've seen mixtures in all the games. And again, like we mentioned at the top of the show, Michigan hasn't played a complete game yet. So, and I've got a couple comments from Tyra Moy. He watches the show. You know, he kind of was saying the same thing. It's haven't seen a clean game yet, especially from the offense. So I think that if you want to look glass half full, if your glass is half empty right now, we'll cover both sides, and you think Wilton Spate should be benched, then, you know, we can insert somebody else at right tackle. Maybe the gap isn't so big there at right tackle, but that gap's pretty big at quarterback. So no other quarterback is going to get the job done close to what Wilton Spate's doing right now, because Harbaugh is dead set on Wilton as the starter. And this isn't just some, like I mentioned before, this isn't just some fluke. I mean, Wilton was Jake Rudock's backup. This is the third year of their relationship. Wilton is essentially a Harbaugh quarterback now by default. Even though Brady Hoke recruited him, he's essentially a Harbaugh quarterback now. He's been the backup behind Rudock. He started last year. I mean, this isn't just something where I feel like, okay, well, Wilton has always had to be the front runner until someone proves Harbaugh otherwise. That's what I look at it. And no one has yet.
Yeah, I'm totally with you on that, and I think it's going to be interesting. And, certainly for Michigan fans, I know coming into the season, the odds makers put Ohio State and Penn State as solidly above Michigan, you know, in terms of Big Ten East title odds. If you want to win the Big Ten East, you cannot lose at Purdue. I'll just put it that way. I mean, I know technically you could come back and beat Penn State and Ohio State, but realistically with Ohio State at home, who, you know, regardless of what you think about last year's game, has struggled against Ohio State recently. Penn State on the road, Wisconsin on the road, and then even games, you know, Michigan State. Who knows how they're going to turn out? They certainly look improved. Minnesota at home, they're 3-0, regardless of how good those wins have been. So I think this is a key game. And really, Michigan, you know, with this type of team, we talked about this. I know I said it, but they're not going to have the style points they had last year. Last year they came out at their top-end level. Everyone was a senior. Everyone was experienced. They were consistent across the board. So you knew what you were going to get week in and week out. The vast, you know, generally speaking. This team's young. They're inexperienced. They have a lot of guys making their first starts. I mean, how many guys are going to make their first start in a road game this week? A lot. And I think it's one of those things you don't really know what to expect. So the mentality just has to be survive in advance, I think, if you're Michigan, and hope that you've taken the step forward when you get to the money time later in the year. So, but with that, obviously a lot of action across the Big Ten and across college football. Anything jump out to you here over the last, I guess the rest of the afternoon after Michigan's game?
Well, yeah, I mean, like I said earlier, I was watching the Army-Ohio State game, and I still think Ohio State's going to be good. I watched some highlights, you could watch the game in 60 minutes on Big Ten Network. So that's
good
for me to, you know, see the bulk of it. I mean, and as expected, Saquon Barkley, Trace McSorley looked pretty good. I know it was, who do they beat, Morgan State or something like that? Or that was Rutgers. Yeah, Rutgers 60. I've been waiting to make this joke. This was my whole point of bringing up the Big Ten scoreboard. Rutgers, Michigan, Morgan State, 65-0. So that's basic. Rutgers got its big win because that's going to compensate for when it comes to Ann Arbor, and that one's going to be super.
Oh my gosh, how bad does Morgan State have to be?
I know, like to lose 65 to nothing. I mean, that makes me think that Michigan's going to beat them 155-0. I mean, it's just, it's like, dang, Rutgers got you 65-0. Morgan State. I'm sorry, that's unfortunate. But yeah, going through the Big Ten scoreboard real quick. Illinois lost to number 23 ranked South Florida. Penn State at number 5, Penn State beat Georgia State 56-0. Number 7 ranked Michigan beat Air Force 29-13. I called 28-13. Pretty close on that one. I'm proud of myself on that. Number 8, Ohio State beat Army 38-7. Number 10, Wisconsin beat BYU 40-6. And I'll say this, Alex Hornibrook, too, because I'll be at Penn State, I'll be at Wisconsin. I'm actually covering Michigan State and Notre Dame. So the Michigan, everyone watches this for Michigan football. I will not be on the road with the Wolverines at Purdue. I'll be in East Lansing and for Michigan State and Notre Dame, which if you look at college football rivalries, that's pretty cool. I get to see Michigan State, Notre Dame, and then Michigan, Michigan State the next week. So that's pretty cool, I think. And then, you know, shortly after Michigan, Ohio State. So those are, you know, three of the biggest the three biggest regional rivalries. So going to be a great year of football game watching for me. But anyway, Alex Hornibrook completed 18-19 for 256 yards and 4 touchdowns. And that, so he was like 94%. And I believe that's a Big Ten record, or he's like top 3 ever. I mean, completed 18-19. You really can't get much more efficient than that. And I mean, yeah, I guess if you see a guy go, you know, 33 for 38 and throw for 400 yards or something. But I mean, 18-19 for 256 yards and 4 touchdowns, that's pretty efficient to me. I did not watch that game, but you look at the box score, you know, 40-6 and Hornibrook 18-19. I said, hey, that's a decent quarterback, even though it was against BYU. I still think I like Alex Hornibrook. I think he's a pretty good quarterback.
The one game I wanted to comment on
Northern Illinois, Nebraska.
Yeah. So all summer I've been saying Nebraska is going to be horrible. I have no idea why people have been talking up Nebraska all summer. And frankly, I don't think Mike Riley's a good coach. That's my personal opinion. And again, I'm talking in the scheme of coaching at an elite big-time college football program, because obviously the guy's a good coach if he's coaching. He's a head coach at that level, you know, generally speaking. But I don't think Mike Riley's the best coach. I didn't think he was a good fit for Nebraska and what they needed. And I think it's showing. You know, everybody, all the Nebraska fans were expecting Tanner Lee to carry them. He was horrible against Northern Illinois. And, you know, they're 1-2 now. The crowds are coming with the pitchforks and torches. It's going to be a rough season for Nebraska.
Did AD make a comment?
Yep. He had like a press impromptu press conference after Mike Riley did.
That's when you know you're about to go at it. And this is purely speculation, but I mean, a move like that.
Yeah.
It's either you need shape up or ship out, basically. Let me Google that comment. I'll read it since we mentioned it.
Well, the worst thing is, again, is like to remember the context of this. They canned Bo Pelini, who went like 9-4, 8-4, like every year he was there, to hire Mike Riley, who didn't like he couldn't match Bo Pelini's record at Oregon State, which I understand it's Oregon State, but for some reason people thought he was going to come in and improve things for Nebraska. And it has been a very rough go of it, and I think, I don't know, it's going to be interesting to see who they go after this offseason, because I cannot foresee Riley keeping that job.
Yeah, look, we primarily, you know, stick to Michigan, Michigan State, I mean, and Big Ten too. So I thought this was kind of important to mention, though, and this is on usatoday.com, and I saw it on Twitter. And I was like, wow, because he said, I'm angry. I'm going to read directly from this article on usatoday.com. The stunning loss brought athletic director Sean Eichhorst to the postgame interview area, where he assured reporters that he has confidence in Coach Mike Riley. This week, Nebraska announced that it had given Riley a one-year contract extension through the 2020 season. I'm angry. I'm frustrated. I'm disappointed, Eichhorst said. At the end of the day, we have to stay together. It's still early in the season, and we need to find ways to win games like this. I want to continue to show our support, but I also understand there is a lot of frustration out there when you don't win games like today. I want to make sure folks understand we've got to get that fixed, and we have to get heading in the right direction. We had the right coach to do it, but we have to get going. So to me, I mean, when he starts out and says, "I'm angry, I'm frustrated, I'm disappointed," that's, if I'm Mike Riley, I'm kind of upset about that. I don't know. I don't know the whole dynamic at Nebraska as well as I do at, you know, Michigan or Michigan State, but those are strong words from an athletic director. Northern Illinois is a pretty solid football program. I mean, let's face it, I could Google it. I mean, Northern Illinois hung with, you know, a lot of good teams.
I think BTN had a stat, something about they've beaten like four of the last five Big Ten teams they've played.
Yeah, I mean, it's not but I mean, if you're Nebraska and, again, you're expecting this and you're proud program, yada, 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 and you lose.
Just think of it.
And you lose at home, and you lose at home too. I mean, that one kind of,
The thing too is, like, they still play Wisconsin, Ohio State, at Purdue, Iowa, and at Minnesota. I mean, that's
getting worse.
Yeah, like, this
only getting worse.
Yeah, but that'll be interesting to watch nonetheless.
Well, guys, do we have any questions in the chat? I think we probably covered everything today. Like, again, I feel like it's a third week in a row, lackluster win for the Wolverines, but a win nonetheless. And, of course, like we mentioned, the Wolverines go to Purdue. It's a 4 o'clock game. We'll do the preview show Wednesday evening. Talk about who you need to watch. We'll break down some stats. We'll have what Purdue did against this team and that team. We're going to do a thorough stat breakdown. Tomorrow I'll be at the Monday press conference. So there'll be some video of Jim Harbaugh. There'll be some video of assorted players that they give us and down there throughout availability and everything. And then I'll be sprinkling in some Michigan State, Notre Dame stuff. I'll have a piece on FanRag Sports. So be sure to follow us at FanRagU. Or at FanRag_U rather, and at FanRag Sports, and it's going to be on Michigan State's wide receivers. So it's a big week. Going to be kind of most of the focus kind of on Michigan Purdue, but I'm getting a little bit more focus on Michigan State this week, just given that it is a big game for the Spartans and playing Notre Dame. 8 o'clock game Saturday night, so it should be a excellent atmosphere. So we want to thank everybody for watching us tonight on the Sports in the Mitten YouTube stream. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the channel. You can like and subscribe to my channel too on YouTube, which we kind of simultaneously upload these things. So whatever channel you're watching, please like and subscribe. Follow me on Twitter at AdamBiggers81. You can follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI. Find Sports in the Mitten on Facebook. And you can follow Thomas on Twitter as well.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at TBendit. You can read my Big Ten Hoop stuff at BT Powerhouse. And we did have a couple questions coming in from Tyler on the live chat, which I wanted to just hit briefly before
we do. Yeah, we'll get those, yeah.
Yeah, just two that popped up. We were talking about Don Brown's defense. You brought up the point, you know, quarterbacks typically tend to struggle against that high-pressure defense. I think that's true.
They have like 8-9 guys on the line at a time. talking about Air Force's defense?
No. Michigan's defense tends to make quarterbacks struggle.
Oh, well, yeah. That's a given. But, I mean, Air Force had 8-9 guys on the line.
Yeah, they did a great job, too, I thought, with their play calls. And then the other thing he brought up was DPJ. He was asking, could he potentially be a future Heisman contender? I don't see why not. He's certainly shown some sparks here in the first couple of games. We'll just have to see how he progresses.
And that, I don't like to speculate that far, but athletically, I don't see why not, because and I'll say why. Look what we've, and this is for the people who I would get in some of the solo podcasts. DPJ hasn't done anything yet. I'm like, well, at that point, it was two games into his career. We've seen him, what, like an 18-yard punt return, a 25. He had that 44-yard end around. He had that 79-yard punt return touchdown yesterday. I mean, he's had a couple catches. I think Donovan's shown a lot. And a Michigan Heisman winner, Charles Woodson. You know, I mean, he was a cornerback, not a wide receiver, but he returned punts. So, I mean, if he could do that defensively and return punts, maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones can do that offensively and also return punts, kind of, you know, provide that same type of athleticism. Obviously, wide receivers, cornerback are split, but play along with, you know, or opposite. So, but play along with me athletically. Yeah, why not? Donovan Peoples-Jones is an excellent athlete.
For some context, during his first three college games, so his true freshman season in 2008, Julio Jones had 10 catches. So for those who that's a pretty high mark. So
yeah,
those who are trying to judge a freshman wide receiver on three games, let's just hold off a little bit.
Hey,
still has a ton of potential.
That's a great point. Now I feel like we could go into a whole nother podcast about DPJ. Now I'm all riled up. I mean, and I don't want people to leave or take away from the show that I'm saying that Donovan Peoples-Jones is Heisman caliber after three games, because that's impossible. But based on his athleticism, and why not? I mean, why not? He's talented. I mean, Donovan, when you're an athlete such as Donovan Peoples-Jones, you are the type of guy who can reach, you know, All-American status. You are the type of guy who might be in Heisman talk. And especially if he develops into a big-time weapon offensively. And again, he's only played three games. I mean, if we're talking his junior year and this kid's got, you know, career 4, 5, 6 punt return touchdowns and all kinds of crazy offensive numbers. I mean, Donovan has the potential to be a special player, and I'll end it on this, our bonus coverage here. I asked Wilton Spate, I asked Jim Harbaugh just about, you know, the connection and kind of rhythm and in regards to the whole offense, but also with Spate and DPJ. And Wilton said that it's crazy that, and I wrote this in today's article, so check that out on my Twitter at AdamBiggers81. But he said it's crazy that Donovan was playing high school football last year, and Tariq. And he said he said he thinks Air Force game, Donovan settled in. He thinks that was the game right there that you know, got him settled. And that's a big thing, you know, for a true freshman and for your quarterback to say that. So, and publicly, I mean, I don't think he's, you know, obviously they're not going to say, hey, man, I think you, you know, really – effed up on a couple of these plays. Like, you got to get your stuff together. You know, they're not going to say that out there. But I think everybody sees the writing on the wall with Donovan. And Wilton Spate certainly does. Jim Harbaugh was asked if he's ever thought of, you know, if he's given much thought about using Donovan in other areas, you know, maybe as a kick returner, not just a punt returner. I mean, we're talking about a guy who, yeah, through three games has done a lot, I think. You know, but we just rattled off a handful of plays. Okay.
I mean,
what are the negatives real quick to balance it out and their true freshman mistakes? He waved down a punt. I think he learned his lesson there. You know, other than that, I don't think there's really anything that you could say but wow with Donovan right now.
Yep. I agree. And one thing I will say to spin off of your comment here on settling in, I think that's one thing Michigan fans have to remember here early in the season is a lot of guys are going through that phase, you know, where I hate to use this term, but, you know, sometimes the light just goes on when you're a freshman, when you're a starter, your first year. It's just natural. And I think it's something that you're going to have to endure here early. And I think on the flip side, it's something that you can sit back and think, wow, you know, if we get one guy to sort of settle in here week by week, you know, how good could this team be in November when you go at Wisconsin and Ohio State to end the season? I don't know. And obviously we'll see if they're good enough to here to pilot through these next couple of games.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll just rattle off the schedule before we go. Next at Purdue, then it's hosting Michigan State, then at Indiana, then at Penn State, then hosting Rutgers, then hosting Minnesota, then at Maryland, then at Wisconsin, then hosting Ohio State. So, I mean, it doesn't You know, maybe that Rutgers game is a reliever, but I mean, looking at Michigan's schedule right now, you know, we mentioned Nebraska's schedule. It's going to get rough for them. It's going to get, I don't want to use the term rough because I do think Michigan's a good team that can compete with the rest of its schedule, but it's going to be, it'll have the potential to be rough if you're not scoring red zone touchdowns, put it that way. I mean, if they don't get it together, then yeah, it's going to be rough. But I do think that, you know, like we've talked about, there are the signs they're going to get there. There are the, you know, the players are getting settled in. And I think there's numbers to support that it's not all on.
We should note Michigan has won every game by multiple touchdowns as well.
That's another thing. So I guess maybe this week, we're gonna have to revisit the DPJ thing. We have to dedicate a podcast to the whole three game people dismantling this kid dismantling him through two games, and you know, and kind of look at some of the other things. But again, we want to thank everybody for watching. Follow the podcast at Mitten Sports MI on Twitter. Search us on Facebook. We're on iTunes, Google Play, and the FanRag Sports Blog Talk Radio channel. I'm Adam Biggers. He's Thomas Bendit. We'll talk to you guys next time. Have a good one.